Good morning, everybody. I have daily struggles with my stick. I put it down and it disappears. And I look for it and find it and I think, how on earth did it get there? And then when I do know where it is, it doesn't always stay where I put it. Right, this morning we're going to look at just one verse out of Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, last Sunday, we had two visiting preachers, and they both brought encouraging messages for this church. Therefore, this morning, I want to continue this theme and also bring an encouraging message. And to do this, we'll refer to this morning's text. A large part of the New Testament consists of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church. Although each letter was directed to a specific church and addressed issues in that church, it's clear that Paul intended that all the letters should be circulated among the other churches. And because each letter dealt with issues that were specific to a particular church situation, they varied in style and in content. The letter to the Philippian church has one overriding theme, and that is Paul's delight at the church, and the joy that he feels when he thinks of them, and the joy that they should be showing. The famous preacher and teacher Martin Lloyd-Jones described the Philippian church as those who lived the life of joy. And our text this morning reflects that joy that Paul finds in the Philippian church. And as I consider this church here in Goldthorpe, I echo his comments in this verse, for I too am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now I can say this because I know of the work that's going in amongst us and the members of this church, and know that nothing and no one can stop it. I also know that this work is going on in every member of this body of Christ, whether they be up front or in the background. And my confidence is in the work of God that's going on here in this church. I believe that this verse, which is our text this morning, is a vital foundation on which God can build his church here in Goldthorpe. For if this verse is not true about us here in this church, then all of our plans, our schemes, and our desires will come to nothing. But I know that this verse can be applied to us just as surely as it was applied by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. So let's just have a quick look at what Paul tells us about this good work. The first thing that Paul examines is, who is the author of this work? Or being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Who is he? Who is the one who has begun this good work in the members of this church in Goldthorpe? Well, of course, the answer to that is God himself. The work that's being done here is not as a result of any input that I or any other person have had here. It's not the result of something that anyone here has done. It's not the result of anything that the church has done. It's God's work, and his alone. Now, of course, God uses men and women to achieve his purposes, and of course, God uses the church to further his work. But the work, the result, is God's work. This church didn't come about because some people had a good idea many years ago and decided to start a church. It's not as if like-minded people decided to form a church like others decide to form a club or a society. There would never have been a church here at all if God had not begun to act. He who began a good work in you. It's all of God. And this work here began when God began a good work in Goldthorpe. It was God who gathered together those founders of this church. It was God who filled them with his Holy Spirit and gave them the deep desire to start a Pentecostal church. Thank you. I feel better, reinvigorated and recharged. Woohoo! Now, where did I get to? It was God who gathered together those founders of this church. It was God who filled them with His Holy Spirit and gave them the deep desire to start a Pentecostal church in Goldthorpe. And a Pentecostal church was established here. But why? Because here is where God wanted it. He began this work in Goldthorpe. But not only did God start the work here, He'll take it through from start to finish. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He'll go on until the work is completed and perfected, until the final consummation. God doesn't just start a work and then leave it. He continues with it, and He leads us on, directing and manipulating our circumstances, restraining us sometimes, urging us on at other times. And that's God's whole plan for His church and for this church. Church is a place where God works in the hearts and souls of men and women. It's not man's idea or man's theory, and it's nothing that man can do. It is God from beginning to end. Before this church was ever conceived in the hearts of men, even before the foundation of the world, before time began, God had planned this church here. He decided the who, the where, the what, and the why. He planted it in Beaver Street. He then moved us to this building here in Market Street. He provided everything we needed to make this building His church, and He continues the work that He first started. And it's essential that we grasp and understand this, otherwise we'll be building upon a false and shaky foundation. The glory must be His alone. But then we turn to the nature of the work. And the key to understanding this is the simple little word, in. Our text says, He who began a good work, not among you, but in you. And that's vital. It's vital and central to the understanding of what God is doing. Paul is talking here about what the New Testament calls rebirth or regeneration or being born again. What happens to a Christian is not just a surface improvement. The gospel doesn't just take a person and make them a little bit better. The work of the gospel is upon the soul, the vital being of a person's life and existence. Henry Scargill, the 17th century preacher, defined it as the life of God in the soul of man. And it's the most profound and vital change that God does in a person. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We become aware that there's a new nature, a new being within us, and this has a profound effect upon us. We find that we don't like the things we used to like. Those things which seem so attractive and important now seem so flimsy and unimportant. We start to do and to like things we would never have considered before. We actually begin to like the Bible. We begin to pray and attend prayer meetings. We actually enjoy church. And we develop a passion for the things of God. And it's the Holy Spirit is doing all this. He's creating us anew, making us more like Christ. That's the good work that God has begun in us. Then he goes on to perfect the new person through his word, through other people, through circumstances. He's fashioning us by smoothing over the rough edges and chiseling off the corners and that. I heard of a little known sculptor who was given a rough block of stone that nobody else wanted. And he worked on it until he produced a magnificent sculpture of a horse. When asked how it produced such a masterpiece out of a piece of rejected stone, he replied, "I just chiseled off everything that didn't look like a horse." And that's what God is doing with me and with you. He's chiseling off everything that doesn't look like Christ. And it's a slow process, and sometimes it's painful, but he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. We then come to the purpose of the work. We've seen that it's God's work, and it's a good work. So what is the purpose of the work? Paul's answer is in our text. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's the objective. That's the purpose. We're being fashioned and prepared for the day of Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul doesn't say we're being prepared for the day of our death. No, we're being prepared for that great and glorious day of Jesus Christ. What is this day? It's the day when the work of salvation is finally completed. The moment that Adam sinned and fell, God began the great process. Remember the promise given by God to the serpent in Genesis 3:15? And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And that's where the plan began. And throughout the whole Bible, we see the work continuing and unfolding. But to what end was all this work leading? To the end that this world, which is cursed by the sin of man, shall be restored and made perfect. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and the Son of God will return to reign as King. That's the day of the Lord. That's the ultimate day of redemption, the day when the plan of salvation shall be complete. And it's essential that we all know that this work has begun in us. Are we sure that God has begun a good work in me personally? Do I know that it's going on with that work, and that I'm going to be made perfect on that day of Jesus Christ? Well, the test is simple. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? Do you enjoy the company of Christians more than those of the world? Are you more interested in the things of God and the work of God than the dubious attractions of the world? Do you defend the gospel when you hear someone attack it? Do you hate it when someone blasphemes and uses the name of the Lord as a swear word? If that's true of you, then you can be sure that the good work has started in you. You can be sure that what God has started, he will finish. And that's why I can join with Paul and say, being confident of this, that he who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul addresses them personally and as individuals. But he also addressed the whole church as an entity. As I said earlier, the whole flavour of this letter is a flavour of joy. Paul wrote this letter from prison. He was chained between two guards 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was denied any privacy, any freedom of movement. The situation was not pleasant in any way. It would be totally understandable if he was depressed and down. But he's not that at all. He's full of joy because of the situation has enabled him to witness about Christ to the guards, who really were a captive audience. But another source of his joy was the church in Philippi. All the reports he'd had of this church were so positive, he continually rejoiced when he thought of them. The work of God in that church was producing great and glorious fruit. As I've also applied this wonderful verse in a personal way to each of us, I also want to apply it to the church here in Goldthorpe. Over the last few years, we've had many prophecies from God that he's going to do wonderful and marvellous things in our church here and in this town and in this valley. And quite naturally, we get a little bit impatient and we're wondering when's God going to start to fulfill these promises. I keep praying, and I know that a lot of you do too, that God will start to bring about some of these things he's promised. And some of those promises go back many years, and we're longing to see God fulfill his word to us. Well, I've got news for you. God has started. Sometimes in the familiarity of our services, we fail to appreciate what God is doing. And I know that I've been like that, and I fail to see what God is doing. The recent pandemic has brought great challenges to the church locally and nationwide. But we're recovering from that, and we're moving on. God is ministering in this church in many powerful ways. It's no longer only the same ones who pray for people. Others are doing it as God is releasing new ministries in people. I believe that there is a new confidence in the whole congregation. That's nothing to do with any one person or any group of people. As far as I know, we're not doing anything that's at all different. It's purely and wholly the work of God. He is beginning to do what he has long promised. We're getting encouragement from the preaching and from the outreach work that we're doing in the community. God is moving, slowly but surely, and I'm certain that we're seeing the beginning of what he wants to do here. Open your eyes and see what the Lord is doing. I continually praise God for what he's doing, and I praise God that he knows that we are all different and uses those differences for his purposes. Just as the churches that Paul ministered to were different, and as such he wrote to them in different ways, so the churches in the Dern Valley are different, and God ministers to each one as he sees fit. All of us who are praying for God to start to fill some of the promises he made for the work here in Goldthorpe need to be aware of what he's doing. Maybe our prayer now should be thanking him for what he is doing and asking for more. As the chorus says, more love, more power, more of God in our lives and our church. Now perhaps, you can all see why I made that bold statement when I started this morning. Then I said, our text this morning reflects that joy that Paul finds in the Philippian church, and as I consider this church in here in Goldthorpe, I echo his comment in this verse. For I truly am seeing and being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion and the day of Christ Jesus. When I look at this church, it does my heart good. I see a people who radiate the love of God. I see a people who are so open to God. I see the presence of God in every one of you. I know that as a Christian, I'm not supposed to be proud, but I am proud to be a small part of this great body of Christ. I rejoice that God has made Joan and myself part of this church, and that we have the privilege and joy of seeing God continuing the good work he started here. As Paul says in verses 4 and 5 of this chapter in Philippians, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So, if you get a little bit despondent sometimes at what's going on around us, and you look and you think, there used to be a lot more people coming than there are now. And you look around and you think, what's God doing? Well, remember, and take to your heart and really embrace our text this morning. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.